I'm Richard S. here at our home in Bellevue with Mary S. And we're interviewing Pam A. and asking her what Alcoholics Anonymous was like when she came in and what her experience was in Northern Kentucky at that time. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you.
And what was it like in your life before you came to Alcoholics Anonymous, a typical day of
what you... A typical day for me would be I'd come to sometime in the early afternoon, and I would try to choke down some food. I was about 89 pounds when I got sober, and I didn't eat much. Drank a lot more. Go to work. I worked in a highfalutin restaurant in downtown Cincinnati, and most of the time at work was spent both drinking to try to get my wherewithal, as well as planning where to go after we get off of work to drink. I always carried a case or so of wine in my car in case I went to your house and you didn't have anything. I don't remember usually much by the time I got off of work. We were walking the alleys of downtown Cincinnati to get to the bars, and then we'd end up at my house, your house, the car, whoever, wherever. And drink all night. I'd come home in the morning, mostly, when the school buses were leaving. I'd take the kids to school, and then I'd pass out until I came to and did it all over again.
When did you know that you had hit bottom?
I knew I was an alcoholic a few years before I got sober. Thought some guy made me an alcoholic because of the way he drank. But I realized I wasn't drinking like people typically would, and I wasn't partying like people typically would. I was about 30 at that time, and I bottomed out when I was almost 34, came to on the couch one morning, and looked in the mirror, and it was just like that moment of clarity. I just saw myself for who I was. I was a drunk, you know. There was a glass on the table, half empty, of champagne. I was trying the champagne route when I was last drinking because I thought if I just drank the best, everything would be okay. So I came to that, learning that about myself when I was about 34 years old. But I had done everything that the big book talked about prior to that. Changing drinks, changing where I drank, who I drank with, just tried everything and nothing was working, so I was resigned to the fact that I was just gonna drink. One day I would quit. One day.
How did you find out about AA?
Well, that same morning when I came to and saw myself in the mirror, I called my daddy. Daddy, come fix me. And he always had before. There was a marriage in there, and Daddy came and fixed me on that one, gave me money for the divorce. And that morning, I cried out for help. And my dad and his wife lived about half an hour away. And they were there within the half hour at my house. And they put a big blue book on my coffee table and talked to me about Alcoholics Anonymous that I really didn't know anything about. Come to find out that my stepmom had been sober about 5 years at that time. I didn't know I wasn't drinking with her anymore. And my dad had been going to Al-Anon for about 5 years. And they had told me the year prior, honey, you don't have to live like this anymore. My reaction was, watch me, you know. But at that particular moment, I was willing to hear something different than what I had been telling myself.
When and where did you first go to AA meetings? When was this?
This was in March of 1987.
That's your sobriety date?
My sobriety date is March 26th, 1987. About a week before that was to be, my dad and Pat, his wife, took me to a meeting at St. Vivian's in Finneytown. It was a lead meeting. Some guy with a beard stood up and gave his talk. I didn't know what a lead meeting was. I didn't know what a meeting. There were women there. I was just blown away. And they hooked me up with a girl in Northern Kentucky, Kathy D. They said, get with somebody on your side of the river. So Kathy and I talked on the phone for about a week. It's very careful not to let the ice in the glass clink against it so that, you know, are you drinking, Pam? No, of course not. Poured it all out. And she told me she was going to give a lead, which was this talk, at a place called Russell Street. She described it as a dingy little green building down Russell Street in Covington. Would I like to come hear her? And I went down there that Thursday night, and that's my sobriety day. I stayed. The funny thing about it is the guy who had held the door open for me ended up to be my husband 3 years later. And it was just this, Thursday nights were big nights down at Russell Street. It was crowded and smoky and it was just a whirlwind, you know. But she talked about me in the meeting, which in her lead. She and I were both part of a group called Fred and Ernie's Hall of Shame. And I figured if she could be part of Fred, which was just a drinking group, yeah, there was initiation. And if she could be a part of this crazy, crazy drinking group, just a group of friends that all drank together out of Clifton, and if she could be a part of that, and she was sober, she wasn't drinking today, maybe I had a chance. And that's why I went down there, just to hear her story, hear what was Alcoholics Anonymous was really all about.
So did you go to Russell Street regularly?
I started going to Russell Street. Everybody brought me a where and when in circle meetings, in the where and when, telling me where they went. And I kind of followed that. I said, well, I can't come to meetings down here because I work at night. And they said, well, Pam, we have meetings here at noon every day. And so the next day at noon, I went to the noon meeting, and I went to the circle Saturday morning meeting that somebody with Happy Destiny, and then I went to the Sunday morning breakfast. And then I started the following Monday just going down to meetings at Russell Street at noon every day.
The Sunday morning breakfast meeting, that was at the Holiday Inn.
Correct.
Can you tell us anything about that? I think you mentioned your experience at bringing snacks or something.
I brought snacks. I worked at this fancy dancing restaurant that had beautiful pastries that the pastry chef made, and they threw them out on Saturday nights. So I would gather them together and bring them on Sunday mornings to the breakfast meeting down at Holiday Inn, which went swimmingly for a long time until Holiday Inn was not a big fan of the fact that people weren't buying the breakfast down there anymore, which was $4. I don't know why I remember this. It was a buffet. It was $4 at the time, and they were eating the pastries that I brought. And they decided that that wasn't good for business, so they banned me from bringing highfalutin pastries down there for breakfast.
That's funny.
Big disappointment for everybody.
Can you tell me about your early sobriety, like step work, what your sponsorship was like, maybe your home group?
Okay. There was a group of girls down at Russell Street, and I saw them every day. They sat closer to the front, and I was always in the back with a couple of people. And I picked one of the girls. Well, actually, the first person I asked to be my sponsor said no. After I was 3 weeks sober, and I asked this girl to be my sponsor, and long story short, I found out later that she didn't sponsor anybody because she didn't want anybody hitting on her husband, and who was 20 years older than both of us, which I had no interest at the time. I was defeated and crushed, and I asked one of the girls from this group of girls that looked, to me, these girls looked like the promises were working in their lives. They were happy, joyous, and free. They had it going on. And I asked one of the girls who was also in the restaurant business, who got off work late like I did, to be my sponsor, which was great because then I could go and visit her when I got off at work, because I did not know how to drive from downtown Cincinnati to Florence. I didn't have to drive home without getting off at one of the exits, all of which had a bar or my only liquor store. I went to one liquor store. And it helped me because I would read the book while she was getting ready to get her tables all cleaned off, and then she and I would sit and talk about the book and things after that. and then I could go home. She and I worked steps together. We worked by coming down to the meeting early at Russell Street, and we'd sit there and we'd read the book page by page. Sometimes out in the picnic table when it got a little warmer, the little picnic table on the back of Russell Street. And that's how I learned to work the steps. The day I was going to do my fifth step, he was nervous. And she had planned it that there was a guy named Don D who was down at Russell Street all the time. And he had worked on the Delta Queen?
Yeah.
And it was in port. So he was going to take us all on a tour of it. Oh, my sponsor thought that was a great idea. Well, I was nervous as can be. I'm doing my fifth step that day. I'm wanting just to get that over with. And we're traipsing around this boat down on the river with Don. And it was a great experience if I could have looked at it from the other side of it. But I was nervous as all get out. And then we went back to Russell Street that day. And I did my fifth step sitting at that little picnic table. Read my 76 pages of stuff I wrote. She told me how to do the columns. I didn't get it. And so I just wrote. She said, well, just write. So I just wrote. But she and I worked steps very thoroughly up through the fifth step. And then I found out later on when I wanted to go on and do more steps that she hadn't yet herself worked the sixth step, seventh step. And so kind of worked around that for a little bit. And then I got what was to be my sponsor for the up until now, you know, I've worked with Nancy D. She's given me 35 coins. Marvelous one, yeah. It's been quite a journey.
She's a sweetie.
Yes, she is.
During this time, how are new members, how are you contacting each other?
by machine. I would call my sponsor. And a lot of times we had a standing kind of thing that we'd come and meet at 10:30 down at Russell Street and we'd work, we'd go through the book. But if I wanted to talk with her, I would call her. She was living with her mother and Latonia. She had a little boy. She had moved back home after her marriage. And I'd leave a message on the machine. Or her mom would write my number down and give it to her or something when she got home. I mean, I don't know when cell phones came out, but they certainly weren't around then, and there were phone booths, because, you know, you carried around a dime, then a quarter, and you just call, and most of the time we pre-made arrangements, because she worked, and I worked, and it was just not easy to get a hold of one another. You know, I would go over to their house sometimes and just sit in front of it and wait for her to get home.
Did you attend any conferences or roundups when you were new in AA, or what were those like?
I went to my first conference in September of 87 in Boston. It was an ICKYPA. We flew up there. Go ahead.
What does ICKYPA stand for?
ICKYPA is the International Conference of Young People. And there were about 6,000 people there in Boston. We got up there a week early. We, being my sponsor and I, complicated. It was her boyfriend and her boyfriend's best friend who was giving the Sunday morning lead, the spiritual lead, John L. And Dave J. was the other one that we went up with, her boyfriend. And we went up a week early to stay with Kathy D., who I had talked with that very first week that I was getting sober. And we stayed at her place. And then things kind of changed around, and anyway, it was a good time. It was a great time. After that, my soon-to-be husband and I hostaged each other when we were about, I was about 8 months sober, he was about 3.5 years sober. He also got sober at Russell Street. And we went to the state conference every spanking year, wherever it was. And then he got involved in bringing KIKIPA, which is the Kentucky Young People's conference of NAA, and he got involved in bringing the Young People's Conference up to Northern Kentucky. It used to only be in Louisville, Lexington.
Paducah, maybe
Bowling Green. I'm not sure if Owensboro was state. I'm not sure. There were four places, and they brought it up to Northern Kentucky. and bid for it. I went through the whole bidding process, and I was just on the cusp of being not a young person anymore. 35, I think, was the cutoff. And so it was, we were involved in getting that conference back up here, or up here to the Northern Kentucky area, where it's remained strong for all these years.
What was your impression of AA? Did you feel confident that this was going to work for you, that, or did you have doubts?
That's a good question. You know, I knew what I was doing wasn't working, and I don't know if I had so much faith in it. I saw it working in other people's lives, and I was very much hoping that it would also help me to face life on a daily basis. I wasn't sure if that was going to be my the way my life was going to go, but I knew I didn't want what I had when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was willing. I was blessed with willingness to try to change what it was that was going on. So I saw it working in other people's lives. I that excitement and that energy down at Russell Street just absolutely filled me up on a daily basis, and it you know, gave me a lot of confidence and hope that I could do it a day. You know, it's all a day at a time, and it still is. It's no difference. It sometimes amazes me that I, you know, been sober, you know, a few years in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like, when did that happen? You know, it was just a day at a time. It still is, but it was, I saw what it had done in other people's lives, and I believed that, you know, I could try something different and something new, and I was willing to do that. The willingness was the key for me there.
Did you find it early on, or when you started perhaps sponsoring people, was that a challenge? Was that something you fell into naturally?
Another good question. I was about 6 months sober, and a girl named Jeanette, who was coming down to Russell Street, asked me to sponsor her. And I told her, oh, no, honey, I can't do that. I'm only 6 months sober or whatever. There was this guy, Dick H., who was standing there. And he said, Pam, you can share with Jeanette what you've done for the last 6 months, you know, and share your experience, strength, and hope. So I told her yes, and I did. It just amazed me that I had something of value that somebody else would want. And it was a beautiful journey. And we were together for a long time until she moved away, before cell phones, before we had that kind of connection that you can do now. I've continued to sponsor through the years. Sometimes more people than not. I was just told by a girl I sponsor who just is right around 5 months that she's gotten a new sponsor because I've been busy with my daughter who's pregnant. And it would have hurt my feelings some years ago if somebody would have said, no, you're no longer my sponsor, I'm using somebody else, because I would have felt so insecure and inadequate. And today I just know that the opportunity for me to work those first 8 steps with her is what I was supposed to do, and that can free me up to, you know, hang with somebody else. But I still sponsor probably about 5 or 6 girls right now.
You mentioned Don D, and of course your sponsor, Kathy, the new person you had met who helped introduce you into AA. Were there any other people, and you mentioned Dick H., any other people that were prominent in your sobriety, or people that, my most unforgettable characters in AA, perhaps?
Well, my husband, Joe A., was also very involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. He was really, really good with new people, new guys in the book. Throughout the entire time we were married, we were together 20 years, and he was very much a part of my sobriety, my early sobriety, as you know, and into my sobriety, but just lots of, we had this commonality. I was talking about this with someone the other day. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, no matter what it was, meetings, we didn't fight about anything having to do with AA. It was always kind of super sacred, going to meetings. You know, he'd have meetings, I'd go to meetings. We went to very few together. But he was somebody very instrumental in my life. We went to a lot, besides the conferences, we just did a lot of AA stuff, you know, and kind of, it was very much part of our house. Our house was kind of an AA house. Mm. People would just be there or drop by, you know, like you say, pre-cell phones. It was always an open house, and we had people stay there, which wasn't the best of ideas. You know, you think maybe you can be different than everybody else and somebody can stay there, but it's not always the best thing. But it was, it's certainly been a journey. It was certainly a journey with Joe, and he passed a couple of years ago, sober. I think he was 37 years sober when he passed. We had two children together. So there was a memorable person. Lots of, you know, I see lots of people now, like Steve W. just had 40 years. Today or yesterday? He celebrated it yesterday, I know. And he was in a lot of the meetings that I went to early on, along with the group of girls like Karen S., no, she's not S anymore. Sorry, she was. She's a couple different things. Le M now. She's been a part of my sobriety for a very long time and has been around Alcoholics Anonymous a couple years longer than I have. Nancy D., my sponsor, you know, very, very much a part of, you know, it was like, I saw this woman with this red suit on, and she just had this presence about her. And I just knew that, you know, I wanted her to be my sponsor and to walk what she walked. Very much a part of what it is that I went through. I can see so many faces from down at Russell Street that I can't key in on anybody right now. You just mentioned Colleen. Colleen's been around a long, long time, and very love watching and learning and watching somebody who really walks the walk, you know, not just talks it and walks it. And those are the people that stand out to me, are the people that are actually walking this. I get to go down to Salty Dog in the mornings now, having been retired past couple of years, and that's been a true blessing, just watching people who got a lot of sobriety. You know, Tom McSee, who's down in Florida now with Vic, and down in Punta Gorda. Those people were all a part of my home group. My home group at the time was, when for 25 years, was Hard Rock on Monday nights, which is at the Emmanuel Methodist Church over in Lakeside Park. Monday nights at 8:30 it was for a long, long time. And I think it's down to 7 now.
Yeah, I remember when I came in, the evening meetings were all at 8:30, and now I complain it's past my bedtime.
I get that very much. I'm in bed at 9.
Do you remember much about Hard Rock? I've been trying to get some information on it. Do you remember who started it or?
Oh, golly. It's one of the older meetings in northern Kentucky. There was a lady by the name of Angela. Gosh, I was just talking about her with somebody. Angela, who was sober a lot. She got sober. She might have had 20, 25 years when I got sober.
Hmm.
I can't think of her last initial right off bat. And another girl named Jane, who were there a long time. Angie told me one time, honey, I was complaining about the guys in AA, just hitting on you and things like that. She said, how do you think it was for me 25 years ago? You know, that kind of thing. And she got sober at Oak Street, which was the only thing around at the time.
Hmm.
I can't think of her last initial. Joe. He just had 52 years. He comes down to Salty Dog now and again. was at my home group. He would remember a lot of different things about early on.
I love that ringtone.
The old classical gas.
Classical gas, yeah. Mason Williams.
Glenna and Leo O. were both there. Leo was down Russell Street some, but Leo has passed. He moved off to Vivi, Indiana with Becky, who he married, who's now sober maybe 46, 48 years. She would remember a lot of things.
Who was that?
Becky, she's in Vivi, Indiana now. I see her sometimes at conferences. She's the one who stands up. She's like the longest sober. She was Leo's second wife. And she got sober at Russell Street, as did George S. And George just passed. And Sharon, who he was married to for many, many years, they lived down in Florida, but they got sober at Barbara Jean. That's a very big, was a very big influence, as she and my husband Joe were really close. She rented out a room at Joe's house for many years, but she was early on Russell Street. Russell Street was 1981, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is that right? 81 to 99.
So.
And Steve would be a good resource too for early on Russell Street.
Were you involved in any service work?
Oh my gosh, yes. They threw me smack dab in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Besides sponsoring and things like that, I was treasurer at, a little meeting. I can't even think of the name of it. It must have been at Happy Destiny for a while. I was GSR. Was it Russell Street or was it GSR? Make me think. I always had something going on, but those were the days when you emptied ashtrays and came and made the coffee. I did make the coffee at Hard Rock for a period of time. Was speaker chair at a meeting over in Cincinnati at Wolf Engel. It used to be at St. Tim's, but it's now at Wolf Engel and Clough for a period of time. That's been more recently. I suppose maybe 10 years ago. You just kind of jumped in and did whatever. Don D was my husband's sponsor for a period of time. And when Joe passed, I tried to get, he had a whole bunch of information that Don used to share at big gatherings when he would share the history of AA. And I looked for those because Joe used to have them and I didn't find them. I don't know if they just got thrown out during throughout the years or whatever, but I think it always felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing, and I gladly did it. I was happy to be a part of whatever it was, and still am. I still enjoy doing whatever it is.
Any antecedent memories, 12-step work? I know I've had some funny things happen on 12-step calls. Anything that you can remember that might be stand out?
I remember at Russell Street, Fred had our central office was right there in the building, and it was a little bitty room, and they did beginners meetings in there, and I both attended and gave beginners meetings in that little room. And I just remember Fred, sometimes he'd get a phone call and he'd yell out in the middle of a meeting or at the end of the meeting, I need two guys, I need two girls, or whatever it was, and you'd go get orange juice and honey, and you'd go over to their place, and with, I went with my sponsor a couple of times and was able to do 12. I didn't even know what 12-step work was. I was brand spanking new. You just tell them what it is that you did. I just thought, that's too easy. I got to be able to offer some kind of, assistance in a different way, but it didn't work that way. I remember volleyball tournaments that we used to have in the parks, like at Pioneer Park and things. I remember a mud wrestling thing that we had. It was guys, it was Joe and somebody else, and they did mud. But there was money that was gathered so that they could pass it along to help out the clubhouse or to help out a shelter or something like that. I remember doing a lot of things like that. I'm drawing a blank here. Funny things that have happened. I don't know, just going to conferences and meeting people on the road, particularly after the conference. You'd all be leaving whatever city that was at the same time, or we'd all end up, like, if we were in Louisville, we'd all end up at the Grange McDonald's or something. Nobody planned it, But, you know, all of a sudden you go in and there's a whole bunch of people. It's been interesting. When Joe's parents lived down in Florida, they moved to Siesta Key, and we used to go down and visit them. And we'd visit them. I worked for the airline, so we flew free, and then we stayed there free because they lived there. And so sometimes before kids, we'd just go down for the weekend or something. And I remember one time we were in Sarasota's airport, and people were coming up to us. Hi, Joe. Hi, Cameron. They call us Kentucky all the time. We go to a meeting down there. They didn't know they didn't remember our names, but they remembered we were Kentucky. And Joe's dad said one time, how come you know all these people? How do you know all these people? We've been down here 3 years, and we don't know half the people you two do. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're an Alcoholics Anonymous. You run into people. You know people. And you run into people at the funniest places, not stores and, you know, things like that, but just out and about in other cities, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, they're so-and-so, you know. You just, you share your lives with many different people, and you get to know them on such a personal and inside basis that, you know, you're walking that same journey. You're walking that path together, and it's just the camaraderie, like, I never knew was around. It's been wonderful being a part of it.
Yeah.
I got Mary, your first cat.
Yeah, Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Your first cat.
Yeah.
I still hear about Oliver.
For 18 years.
Yeah.
Aw,
he's such a sweetie.
He was.
Any other comments that you would like to make about your experience in Alcoholics Anonymous, how it's affected your life?
Oh my gosh, it's completely changed my life. It's a new life. It's a totally different life from what it was that I used to have. And sometimes I think back and I kind of remember that person that I was, but it seems like it's a different person. It's like I could have had a different name or something. My drinking was a series of blackouts. And, you know, I blacked out a decade or two. You know, I mean, it was just, I don't remember a lot of things. And then I remember certain little pieces, and it's like, who was that girl? You know, who was that person? I don't even recognize me in that. I see pictures now and again. I do remember one time drinking that was memorable. Not sober, but I was dating a guy. He was the one that made me the alcoholic. And we were at a family reunion, my mom's side of the family. And I kind of remember, but I was told that we were chasing balls on the softball field in a Cadillac. He had a yellow Cadillac, and he had a sunroof. And apparently, we were hanging out of the sunroof, and we were chasing balls, trying to catch balls with the mitt and everything, you know, in the Cadillac. Like I said, I kind of remember that. And the funny thing about that is today, he sits past, we work together down at that fancy restaurant, but his daughter, I get to see from time to time now, and she was maybe 10, you know, when I met her, and now she's married and divorced from a local governor and governor's son, and just to watch her kind of blossom and bloom in her place, you know, she's got to be in her 50s now. It's just an amazing thing to watch how this program can work in someone's life, and why I questioned it even working in mine. You know, I don't know. It's that leap of faith. You know, am I going to be able to do something different? And it's still, everything's on a daily basis. Yeah, mm-hmm. I get mired in depression from time to time, and it's just something I have to fight and seek out on a daily basis. You know, what can be the solution rather than staying in the problem? And sometimes after a few days, I dig out and say, you know, okay, what is the solution? I want to see the light of day. And, you know, recovery and sobriety doesn't come with a guarantee, and it doesn't come with saying that, you know, everything's going to be all good and better all the time. It's just that daily reprieve that we, you know, that we are blessed to have, to be able to, you know, walk in that sunlight of the Spirit. I also always get weird the week before my anniversary. I don't know why. And I think, oh, I'm not going to get weird. What's the big deal? But I do. And this is the week before my anniversary. My anniversary is Sunday. And I can just feel. Because it's something about the outdoors and the time of year for me that comes to mind, because it's spring. You see the daffodils coming up and all that kind of thing. And there's a part of me that really remembers what it was used to be like. Mm-hmm. And that desperation of that time right before I reached out and asked for help. And it kind of gets into the weather and the time of the year. And it affects me. You know, every single year I think, that's stupid. Why would it affect me? But it does. It's something I always seem to experience. And it makes me glad when I get to the anniversary and then kind of goes. You know? It kind of goes away.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time out to,
my pleasure,
and your patience with us this morning. But that's about all I had.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.